Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would like to hear from you. The lines are open, and we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or something you'd like to talk about, give us a call now, 844-322-2742. With open lines, it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Faith without works is dead. That's what James wrote in his letter. Many people think that what he said is in direct contradiction to what Paul wrote, but I don't think that's the case. I think the two are in harmony one with another, and here's why I think that. I think the word work, has a meaning to those who are lost. That work is produced by the energy of the flesh. So you have to look and ask the question, what's the source of the work? Mm-hmm. So if somebody is trying to bring works to God in order to be saved, they're coming from the wrong source. Yeah. They're of no value to God. That's why the Bible says time and time again, no one will be declared righteous through obedience to the law, through good works. The only thing our works as lost people will earn us is death. That's the wages of sin, and that's the wage that we would earn through our works. But once we're born again, then we can engage in the works of the Lord, the works that God the Father has for us. And that's exactly what we read about yesterday in Ephesians 2, that we are saved by grace. It's not of ourselves. It's a free gift, so that no one should boast. And then it goes on to say that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus and prepared or created for good works, which God has prepared for us in advance to do. So there are works for us to do. Well, how do we do those? Through faith, by faith. As we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're going to engage in the work of the Lord. So he's going to be the source of it. And so that source is going to make it a good work, a work that God is pleased with. Why? Because it's something that he's initiating in and through us. It is God who is at work in and through us to do and to will of his good pleasure. So James is talking about works on this side of the cross, on the saved side of the cross. And so when we see those works, we realize that our faith in Christ is genuine, that it's real. It's not just mental assent to a set of facts. It's actual heartfelt trust in the resurrected Christ. And when there's heartfelt trust in the resurrected Christ, we're going to see the fruit of that being lived out in our day-to-day lives. So this word work has been converted. It was once lost, and when it was lost, it produced nothing but sinful deeds. But now that it's been saved, now that you and I have been saved, we can count on the fact that the works that God produces in and through us are going to be positive and godly and impactful in a very beneficial way to those who receive it.
Yeah. Well, it's Basic Gospel, everybody. We want you to be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or something you'd like to add to the conversation, give us a call right now, 844-322-2742 in Canada and in the U.S., toll-free, of course, 844-322-2742. And, of course, Bob, everything that you're talking about plays right into the high cost of legalism. And friends, I want to remind you that today and tomorrow are your final opportunities to get Richard's beautiful, excellent CD called The High Cost of Legalism. Well, I guess the CD has its own beauty. Anyway, in this message, Richard will help you identify those things that hinder you from fully believing and trusting in Jesus, and will offer you practical help to guide you into the fullness of God's rest. Get your copy and make your gift to Basic Gospel today. Click Donate on any page at basicgospel.net. Of course, this offer ends tomorrow, so be sure to click Donate at basicgospel.net to receive your copy of The High Cost of Legalism. Well, guys, a question, kind of an interesting question from Ron in Leander, Texas, says, how important is it to understand the history, setting, and culture of the times when Jesus taught? He says, can we really get it without understanding the history?
Well, we can get the truth of the gospel and the grace of God that's been bestowed upon us in Christ Jesus, because we get those through revelation. That's the Holy Spirit teaching us the truth of those things. I think as we kind of go back and look at the culture and look at the times that the Bible was written in, I think we'll gain some greater understanding as to why the writers chose different words or chose different ways to say things. But as far as this walk of faith, it really is initiated by God and is made real in our lives by the Holy Spirit. He's the one that takes the things of the Lord Jesus and makes them known unto us. So I think we can walk by faith without knowing all of the, you know, the times that the Bible was written in. But I think when we do take a deep dive into how and what was going on during those times, I think it's going to come to life just a little bit more. Richard, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I personally love to dig into that history stuff. But you're right. The history is, it just adds color and interest and depth to the conversation. But the truth of it, the revelation of it, has to come by the Spirit. And you know, back in the old days when I suffered through the legalism myself so badly, I studied all that stuff because I thought it would explain the Bible, and it didn't. Once I discovered grace, Jesus got through to me, and the Spirit began teaching me what the Bible means, then the history came alive. It wasn't alive before that. I had to understand what the real message was, and then the history could be fun.
Yeah. Well, you know, studying the Bible is not an academic pursuit.
No.
I mean, we can look at it and read it as a form of literature like we would read any other piece of literature out there, and we could gain some understanding from that. It's kind of interesting to look at the different types of language that's used, the way the different writers put together their letters and the way, you know, some of the books of the Old Testament were put together. That's interesting stuff, but it still takes the power of the Holy Spirit to bring about the meaning, the understanding, and the application of it in our day-to-day lives. If we go into the Word of God with an academic approach, we're going to miss the meaning of the Word of God. It really is revealed truth, and it's revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. So let's start there and get the meaning. You know, Peter had read the scripture, and he had heard and he had read about the coming Messiah, but it still took the revelation from God the Father into Peter's mind for him to rightly identify Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the anointed one. Without that revelation, he would have been as clueless as anybody else back in those days and would have speculated. Well, he could be Elijah, he could be another prophet, he could be this. But because God the Father revealed to Peter the true identity of Jesus Christ the Son, he was able to answer with confidence Jesus' question, "Who do you say that I am?" He stood and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Without that revelation, that would have been an impossibility. The same is true for us. We're not going to know Jesus as Lord and God apart from the revelation of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Well, for those of you who can't get to the phone during the course of the broadcast when we're live on the air, we encourage you to drop us an email at bob@basicgospel.net. Or if you'd like to record your question and to hear us play it back on the air and give an answer to it, you can go to basicgospel.net, click the radio drop-down menu, then select on-air question. Interesting aspect of that is you'll be able to hear your question on the air the following day. You can record your question, or on that same page, you can write your question. Either way, we encourage you to use this means of submitting your questions to Basic Gospel. Once again, that's under the radio menu at basicgospel.net. Right now, open lines 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go out to Livermore, California, and talk with William. Hi, William.
Hi, William.
Hi, Bob. Doesn't the scriptures record that at one point in time, James and Paul were in dispute regarding the doctrine of salvation?
Well, it talks about the fact that there was a council in Jerusalem, and there were many people that traveled out from Jerusalem, from James's church, so to speak, and would go into places like Galatia and would say, hey, for you Gentiles to really be Christians, you need to be circumcised and you need to become Jewish. And so they met in Jerusalem and met together. Peter was the one that ended the debate and stood up and said, I've seen with my own eyes that God shows no favoritism and that Gentiles are saved by grace in exactly the same way that we are. And that ended the debate, so to speak. And that was always a question, you know, does Judaism, does our past history play into this new creation? And I think they all came to an agreement and realized that, no, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision matters. It's simply a new creation in the Lord Jesus that means everything. And so they recognized that. So the apostles were in agreement in that regard.
Yeah, but prior to that, they weren't, right?
Well, William, I mean, there's this revelation that took place, and it was revealed to those apostles what the gospel message was and how people are saved.
And that's in keeping with what Jesus told them before he left, that he had much more to tell them, but it was more than they could bear at that time. So when he sent his spirit would reveal it to them.
That's correct.
And the revelation that they don't have to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses was given through Paul, and that's how it was brought to them. And Peter's the one that put the stamp on it, so to speak, at that meeting, right?
Well, it was brought to Peter. I mean, Peter stood, and when he gave that first sermon, at Pentecost, there wasn't anything about circumcision. You know, what do we have to do to be saved? He didn't say you had to be circumcised. He said simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he told them.
Once Paul went to the Gentiles and was giving them the gospel, the Jews came from Jerusalem telling them that unless they were circumcised and kept the law, required to keep the law of Moses, they could not be saved.
That's correct.
And that's what brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute, it says. And then they went to Jerusalem to settle it, and that's when it got settled. So prior to that, James and the other disciples were under that impression that you did have to be circumcised.
Well, you're projecting into the text, because the text, there's nowhere in the Word of God that says that. All we know is from the book of Galatians that men from Jerusalem came to Antioch, and there Paul opposed Peter to his face. And what those Judaizers were saying is that they needed to be circumcised and to obey the law of Moses. So you're not going to find anywhere in the Word of God where it says that James believed that, or that Peter believed that, or anyone else, any of the other apostles believed it. The only thing that we have is that there were Judaizers, there were people from Jerusalem that started spreading out and giving that particular message. And that was what was confusing to a lot of the new Gentile believers. They were saying, well, what are we supposed to do? And that's why Paul wrote the book of Galatians. That's why we see that Jerusalem council, that they could all have that same page moment. You know, we're all on the same page and believe that everyone, both Jew and Gentile, is saved in exactly the same way. So we don't need to burden down those Gentile converts with things that we weren't able to keep.
Yeah. And there's also one other minor correction. Paul and Barnabas did not come into sharp dispute over the law. They came into sharp dispute over John Mark and his fitness for ministry at the time. And they decided to split because Barnabas was doing with John Mark what Barnabas did with Paul earlier, which was to encourage him and bring him along. But that it was not an issue over the law.
I'm just referring to the 15th chapter of Acts, where it said the men came down from Jerusalem and were teaching mm-hmm. the Gentiles that unless they were circumcised, required to obey the law of Moses, they could not be saved. And it said this brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute, and they went to Jerusalem to settle it.
No.
Yeah, it doesn't say that it brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they did go to Jerusalem to settle it, and it was after much discussion or argument that finally Peter stood up and made his proclamation, and that's when James said, okay, let's send a letter to the Gentiles, tell them that they don't need to be circumcised or keep the law of Moses. They should just abstain from sexual immorality and remember the poor.
Yeah.
So
the whole point, William, is this, is that the gospel message was revealed as the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. It's the message concerning Christ. And that message, God saw fit that everyone came into agreement on what that message was, and that has not been disputed, throughout church history. There have been many offshoots, there's been many sects, there's been many, many different people throughout history that have tried to add to the gospel message, but we see, I think, in the Word of God and in this New Testament, how wonderful our Lord is to bring all of the parties that we're going to be spreading this word, that we're going to serve as apostles, into agreement. How he did it is unique to each and every one of them, but all of them were brought by the power of the Holy Spirit, just like you were, William, just like I was, just like everybody else. We've been brought to a point where the Holy Spirit has clarified in our minds that it is simply Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension that matters. That is the gospel. And through simple faith in that gospel message, we're saved, whether Jew or Gentile. And we will all conclude that neither circumcision nor uncircumcision matters, only the fact that we're new creatures in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's a powerful testimony.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thanks again.
Thanks, William. Thanks for your call.
Yeah, yeah. Quick reminder that today and tomorrow are your final opportunities to get your copy of Richard Piper's excellent CD, The High Cost of Legalism. All you need to do is make a donation to the ministry. We'll get one on its way to you. Just click donate on any page at basicgospel.net. Open line, some time remaining on the clock, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Question from Dave. Says, what is your take on grace teachers gravitating toward false doctrine, Trinitarianism and Universalism?
Well, Universalism is, I think, a false doctrine indeed. There's nowhere in the Word of God that teaches that, and I'm sure I'm going to get emails. I'm sure we're going to get emails from folks who are going to list out a whole bunch of passages that they think say otherwise. But the Word of God is clear. You must be born again. You must receive new life. There is a point in time where an individual is made alive in Christ. They go from death to life through faith in
yes.
Jesus. So unless that happens, you're still dead. And if you die in that spiritual condition, you're gonna suffer eternal death, the second death, as the Word of God has to say. So there's this inclusionist theology out there that everybody is already saved, and faith is just becoming aware of that. Well, what happens to new birth? What happens to going from death to life? What happens with Jesus sending his Spirit to take up residence in us? That all happens the moment that we're saved, and it's only those who are saved that are going to be with the Lord forever. And that's what the Word of God teaches, and I think we have to realize that.
Yeah. Dave, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. Question from Rose in Brooklyn, New York. The dead will rise with Christ and those who are still living. In Revelation, it says when God judges, he will take those out of hell also to be judged. My question is, when we die, are we resting in our bodies until the Lord takes us, or does our spirit go immediately to heaven or to hell?
Well, I think Paul is pretty clear on that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that when we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. So there's a sense that, you know, we don't die, and that's exactly what the Word of God teaches. Our bodies die, but we don't. We've been made alive in Christ, and so we're always in Christ. And when this body goes to a grave, I'm still in Christ, and I'm just in a different location. I'm in his presence. That's what happens to those of us who die, those who, the lost, when they die, they're not going to go and be with the Lord. I think they're in a holding, place, and, at a certain point in time, they're going to be called out. The dead will come forth, and they will receive their final judgment, and it's not going to be a good judgment. It's not going to be a positive judgment at all, because they're going to say, hey, we deserve eternal life because of this, this, and this. And Jesus is going to say, you've rejected me, and I'm the only one that has life, and yet you refuse to come to me to have life. And so your judgment is your second death, eternal separation from God, and that's not a good thing at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Final question from Stephen, and this is one that really gets deep. He says, Bob, is it wrong to pray every night that the Lord would take me home to be with him? I mean, what greater thing is there than to be face to face with the Lord Jesus? I feel tormented by this flesh and that I'm in and want the Lord to call me home. I cannot do it myself and would not want to. I know he is in control, and I think about him all the time. I just see the fallen world and how I am not making it any better. I'm just glad that no one is dependent upon me. What's your thought from Stephen?
Well, we're not called to make the world better. That's Jesus is going to use us to snatch people out of the world and into eternal life, into the kingdom of God. So I think we can see that God is going to use us here and now. We just simply make ourselves available to him, and he will choose to use us as he sees fit. Paul, you know, was struggling with that in Philippians, wasn't he? You know, he said, it's better, you know, it would be much better for me to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. But I recognize the benefit of staying here because God is going to use me to build up and edify others and to share this good news with as many people as possible. So I think we have to see that God has us here for a reason. God has us here for a purpose. We don't need to look out in the world and see if we're making the world a better place. I think we look and see how God is using us in other individual lives. And that's where his real work is taking place, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it is. And I love the way Paul put that in Philippians. He says, that I will have sufficient courage so that now as always Christ may be exalted in my body, whether by life or death.
Yes, indeed.
That's a purpose statement.
That is a purpose statement. So we all struggle with the flesh. I mean, we struggle with the ways of this world, and certainly it gets tiresome. But quit looking out there at the world. Quit looking at your flesh. Yeah. Let your eyes be fully focused on the Lord Jesus.
Absolutely. Well, friends, today and tomorrow are your final opportunities to get Richard Piper's excellent CD, The High Cost of Legalism. Now, in this message, Richard will help you identify those things that hinder you from fully believing and trusting in Jesus Christ and will offer practical help in guiding you into the fullness of God's rest. Get your copy when you make a gift to Basic Gospel. Click donate on any page at basicgospel.net. And remember, this offer ends tomorrow, so be sure to click donate at basicgospel.net to receive your copy of The High Cost of Legalism. BasicGospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.